All right, Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance to visit with Mercer County native, grew up in New Boston, Brad Dixon. Great program in West Central Illinois at Camp Point Central. And I know when I think about these conversations, you know, when I dating back to mid-March when this pandemic began, I keep thinking about the scene in Friday Night Lights when Boobie Miles is sitting in the car with his uncle, and he asks, the uncle asks, well, what are we going to do now, Boobie? And I've been asking that same question in March, in April, in May, in June, in July. So I guess I ask you, Brad Dixon, what are we going to do now? It's been crazy, isn't it?
Oh, it's been just something that you would have never thought, or at least I would have never thought in coaching. There's so many other things that you worry about, from, you know, eligibility to, you know, kids making the right decisions on the weekends, to game planning, to injury prevention, you know, concussions, all that kind of stuff. A global pandemic never creeped in my mind of things on my list of issues to have to try to decipher. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, I think we're all just as coaches trying to find some guidance so that we can best serve the student athletes that we have.
All right. From a coaching standpoint, I haven't heard a lot of coaches ask this, but can you kind of take me through it from your perspective when we go back to mid-March and all this went down from the, you know, basically the state basketball tournament? That's when everything got wiped out, and as each day went along, you know, this got canceled, it got into the spring sports season, it got canceled. I know you coach track. And, you know, when the basketball thing got canceled, I know most people were thinking, wow, we'll be able to have spring sports. And then, okay, well, I get it. Spring sports is canceled. We'll clearly have fall sports. Well, now there's a major question mark of whether we'll have fall sports as we speak on this 24th day of July. So you take me through this thing over the last 4 months from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think mine actually started, I think, on that Thursday that the basketball tournament was canceled, because I run a big football clinic down here in Quincy where we're going to have about 300 coaches coming in from four or five different states. And so, you know, it really goes back, I guess, to Wednesday night when the NBA canceled their season. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, with the Adams County Health Department down here, and it was the very beginning of this thing. You know, I've got 300 people coming in a pretty small venue. There's really no, you know, I don't even know if I understood the term social distancing and all that. You know, and I was reaching out to Sam Knox to see what he thought, and I was trying to, and finally on that Thursday night, I made the decision to cancel the football clinic, and I thought that was a tough decision at that time. You know, and then I go to practice on Friday, and, you know, I'm hearing the rumors there at track practice that, you know, governor's going to come out and you know, cancel school for at least 2 weeks. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe we can get through this 2 weeks, and I'm sending workouts to our guys. Hey, you know, keep doing some things on your own. We had a really good group of guys for track. We were going to have a great year. I think our numbers were up to 35 from, I think, 19 when I started 4 years ago, and I think 8 or 9 seniors, and it was going to be a good year. And then I was, okay, maybe we can get back in May, you know, so keep going. You know, there's hope. Let's make sure we're ready to go when we come back to, you know, just being devastated for some of our seniors, especially there's a few that track was the only sport that they did. And we co-op with Southeastern, and one of those kids was a senior, you know, and track was his sport. And, you know, state qualifier the year before, and I felt horrible for him and all of our seniors. And then you're thinking, you know, who knows about summer workouts. But, you know, hopefully by July we'll be able to get back to doing some workouts, and then August 1st we'll be able to roll like normal. And that's kind of what we thought. And then as you know, we've gotten to do a few things and then gotten some things taken away, and here we are. I don't know. You know, I'm still sending some workouts to our guys. You know, we want to try to have camp at some point in the next 2 weeks, whatever that might look like. And we're hoping for August 10th. And if it's not August 10th, we're hoping for September 1st. And if it's not that, we're hoping for March 1st. So, you know, we're just hoping to get some remnant of a season in, but it's just been a thing where at the beginning you thought, hopefully this will go away. It's like the flu. Sometimes we've closed down school for a few days. We get through this and we'll be back. And I mean, it's obvious that this is not like that, and we've just had to kind of roll with the punches. But it's just tough when the kids put so much time in over the whole year. Our kids are dedicated student athletes for the whole year, and then to go through this long of a stretch without really doing a lot or being around them is definitely tough.
Yeah, and I know, Coach, the one thing that, you know, I look at that they concern, and I'm hoping for the best. I you know, August 10th rolls around. I hope it's, you know, we can proceed and have a fall sports season. But, too, I'm realistic. You know, I look at the numbers and the data and the science this week, and the numbers are starting to increase again with the pandemic here in Illinois. I think Thursday was a big number in terms of positive cases. So, you know, we're 4 months out when this started, right? So March is when this thing started, mid-March. And we're here in mid to late July now. And I just like, what has really changed? I don't know. And that's why I think not much. And then if you look at four-month increments, you know, and when I talk to a lot of people about this issue, and even with, you know, IHSA staff members, you know, it's all about calendar. You know, you keep looking at the calendar and say, well, how can we do this? And I just, when I look at the calendar, I say to myself, well, what's going to change over the next 4 months between July here and January of next year? Because if you look at what has happened in the last 4 months from March to July, I don't know what really has changed that much. And that's what I'm really worried about, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all thought that, you know, once it warmed up and, you know, the heat and this would go away and you know, people would lock down or, you know, stay at home for a period of time, which most all of us did, obviously, a lot of businesses for 2 months or whatever, that would help. And, you know, we would open back up in stages, and the same thing with summer stuff. And you know, here we are. And I don't know. I don't know what, you know, obviously in areas that they've spiked up, other areas have done okay. You know, we're testing a whole bunch more people, you know, so the numbers are higher. You know, it's the positivity rate, but, you know, no one wants to put any kid in harm's way or any coach or any teacher. So these aren't easy decisions that anyone has to make, because there's risk involved no matter what. And I think people want to try to limit the risk as much as possible. But then you factor in the other side of things and how important extracurriculars are to our student athletes. I couldn't tell you the number of kids that play sports in Illinois or what percentage, but I know in our school, you know, we've got in a school of 240, when you count all of our extracurriculars, you know, we're probably at least 150 to 180 kids that are involved in something, some sport, you know, band, scholastic bowl, or something, you know, that really gives them, you know, a second avenue to enjoy their time with their friends and to have more fun outside of the typical school day. And, you know, and I think that's what makes it tough to just cancel, because, you know, those things are important to kids. And you know, obviously we grew up playing. We grew up playing in the summer, and we grew up doing all these things. And you know, now those things are taken away, and you know, or they have been. And I think that's the toughest thing. But you got to factor in the risk and you know, the health and safety. So it's not a cookie cutter. You know, we're going to do this because of this. There's so many things to take into account, and I think that's why here in July, you know, we're almost in the same situation we were in March, because, like you said, a lot of things haven't improved. But over time, people have kind of, I won't say they've got fed up with everything, but people are just kind of over it. But the people making the decisions still have to factor in, because whether you're over this or not, you know, it's still a real thing, and decisions still have to be made.
Yeah, and you know, listening to you talk about, well, you know, looking at what you want, and we're speaking as it relates to high school football right now. So I get it. You would want August 10th. You know, you want the season to start on August 10th. But what we know now, as we speak on the 24th, I don't know how realistic an August 10th start is with, you know, the limitations that are in place. And then I think you had said September then, maybe. And if that doesn't happen, March. So I guess all things being equal here, you know, tell us the bullet points for you of what you would want to see as each thing gets marked off the schedule, where you can't do August 10th. The season is going to start then. So just kind of take us what through your priority as a football coach is of how we get a football season in the 2020-2021 school year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want things to be back to normal. But like you said, I mean, that's a pretty far reach right now, I think, you know, just based on everything that's going on. And so, you know, there's a big mask push now, I think, by the entire country. And the CDC comes out and says, you know, if everyone wears a mask for 2 months, we can really put a dent in this thing. And there's obviously a huge debate in masks and not wearing masks. And I don't get into all that, but I get into whatever I need to do to give our kids an opportunity to get back into school and extracurriculars. I'm all for it. You know, obviously we all have to take some, you know, some responsibility in this. And so, you know, if we can push the season back a month and the numbers look better and the positivity rate goes down and maybe like in our league, we play 5 conference games in our North Division and we play 4 non-conference games. You know, so maybe we push the season back and we teams get to play 5 or 6 games against their more local schools. You know, and you try to organize that. You know, if that's looking like the best scenario and we can get it in before the winter and some of the flu and some of those things that are probably going to pop back up, then I'm all for that. Postseason, would it be nice? Would it be nice to have 4 games? Yes. 3, 2, 1. You know, no postseason, but we got to play 6 games and our seniors got to put the pads on. You know, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's not a perfect scenario, but at least it gives those kids a chance. We have 52 to 54 kids coming out for football, in our small school, in our community, and just all the things, the homecoming, everything that surrounds football in the start of school. I always tell our kids, you know, the school year will go better for everyone if we have a great football season and people are excited about what's going on. And we kind of take that responsibility upon ourselves to get off to a good start to the school year. You know, I've seen some models that have pushed it back to October, where, again, you can play a 5 or 6 game season, you know, still be done by Thanksgiving kind of thing. You might push basketball back a little bit. You know, and so if we can't do that, then you look at, you know, when can you start the winter season? Can we start the winter season in December? If we can't, we start it in January. Maybe you run a two-month basketball season, wrestling season, if you can do that. And then, you know, March or whenever, you try to get in 5 or 6 football games, you know, almost not exhibition, but here's your schedule. You're going to play the games. There's no postseason. But, you know, the kids are still going to get the opportunity to play, and then you finish out your spring sports, you know, probably into early or mid-June, and hope that in the fall of 2021 things will get a little bit better. But I think that's the best way to try to go about it. I know that's tough from a scheduling standpoint, and you really put an ADs out there because, you know, they just want to know, what am I supposed to do? Am I canceling games? How am I hiring officials? You know, there's so many parameters to doing all this stuff. And I know people want to switch the seasons and all that. You know, on July 24th, that's going to be a huge undertaking to try to flip spring and fall seasons and officiating and all that kind of stuff that happened. You know, so I guess in my perspective would be to try to push it back to save some remnant of the football season. If you can't do that, and then you try to sneak as many games in for each kid into the spring and create a calendar that it gives kids an opportunity. It shortens all their seasons. But I think if you ask any kid right now, would you rather, you know, take a 3-sport athlete, would you rather cut the fall sports and only play your winter or your spring, or would you rather try to get all 3 sports in the spring? I think most would say, we just want to play, and they would be okay with that, you know, especially after what happened to our spring sport athletes this spring.
Yeah, and it's a well thought out response. There's no question about that. So you would be supportive, if I'm reading between the lines, of, you know, because basically it was hinted at earlier this week in a communication that was sent out from the IHSA to the ADs around the state of basically, you know, trying to put together 3 sports seasons, you know, your traditional fall, winter, and spring sports season, getting those 3 seasons in, probably starting in January and probably going through the end of June to early July. You would be in favor of having the 3 sports seasons crammed into that time window from January to early July. You'd be okay with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know there's obviously, risk with trying to cram so many things in together. You know, you would hope that in December-ish, you know, by then November or even through the fall, that you would continue to be able to do some, you know, athletic things, some workout things, because, you know, we can't be in a situation where we take the entire fall off. You know, we can have no contact from a sports performance perspective and then try to start and run January through, you know. But on the flip side of that, you know, if our kids are playing summer ball normally, you know, they're trying to fit three sports into 30 days or 60 days. You know, and those schedules are even crazier. You may play 8 games in a weekend, of baseball, you know, after you've had 2 7-on-7s and 5, you know, summer league basketball games through the week. And so, you know, we've already put our kids in some of these situations. And I think over a, you know, whatever that is, a 6 to 7 month structure starting in January, you can space it out and have some parameters, you know, so you're continuing to look out for the health of the kids as you go through, you know, but I think we're naive to think that, you know, trying to cram that into 7 months is something that our kids haven't done, because, you know, coaches have been trying to cram 3 seasons into 60 days in the summer for a long, long time. You know, so I think with guidance from the IHSA, you know, it would be better. Would some kids miss out on some of their summer ball? Would kids choose club and some of that? I don't know. Probably. You know, I think at the small school level, they would probably play with their high school teams. You know, but that's something that you would cross down the road. I would hope that you know, the high school teams obviously would win out, and the IHSA could make decisions on whether they're going to allow them to play club and such through the season. And that, you know, that's out of my realm of expertise. But I think whatever we can do to get kids, you know, their sports in, you know, even golf and cross country and some of that, you look at the risk now. Is it okay for them to play in the fall? If it is, you know, let them play in the fall and move football to the spring. I don't think it has to be a one size fits all, because I know people in the cross country and the golf world, you know, they don't want to be mixed in with football, and I get that. You know, that it is two totally different sports, and you can do some creative things to keep people socially distanced in those sports. And if we can do that in the fall, I think, you know, that's what you try to do, and you don't lump everything together, you know, based upon one sport that might have a little more risk than the other.
Yeah, and that you bring up an interesting point in regards to that, because you hope that if this happens, you hope it's just a one-year thing, where this calendar is just like this, where if you start in January and you have to cram in the three sports seasons, fall, winter, and spring, into that six-month window or seven-month window, you hope it's just this school year. But, yeah, as you bring that point up, do you think, and I know, as you mentioned, the IHSA is going to have to ultimately make the decision, but do you think some of those seasons, you know, you could co-mingle the sports and say maybe some of the fall sports would be actually in the spring with spring sports, and maybe a winter sport would be moved to the fall? And I'm talking about just that calendar, you know, this school year, where maybe your traditional fall sports are going to be maneuvered and compete against another sport they weren't accustomed to competing with, if you know what I mean. So, for example, like if football got put into the same season as track or something in regards to that, you know, where I've seen some debate about, well, what's going to happen then? Do you envision maybe something like that happening, where normally some of these sports aren't competing against one another, then are placed in the same season?
You know, that gets pretty tough. I mean, I obviously I'm biased at a small school where, you know, out of my 35 track kids, you know, I don't have I would say 28, 30 of them were football players. You know, so if those seasons were at the same time, you know, kids would have to choose, and I think both programs would suffer in that regard. So I think, at least, and it's some of my concern sometimes too with the IESA calendar, that has, you know, junior high baseball in the fall, and I know a lot of schools don't play, you know, obviously there's no IESA football, but we do have junior high football at the same time, and I fight the constant battle, and fortunately our junior high baseball coach is our high school baseball coach, and he does a great job of telling the kids, hey, you realize that in high school these sports are different. Even though you didn't play junior high football, you can play high school football and still play baseball, you know, so he does a good job job in that regard. But I think at the small school level of how much athletes are shared and how much, you know, at least at our school, we promote kids to play multiple sports, that would put an interesting situation. And I get it at the larger school level, maybe where you don't have as much carryover and some of that stuff. But I think it would be best served, you know, to try to keep those sports together as best as you can. You know, you can pull a sport out, like I said, like a golf or a cross country and put them in the fall. But if you're going to put, let's say, football in the spring, I don't think, at least from our school's perspective, we would want to compete with baseball or compete with track, because I think, you know, those sports already have lower numbers, and if, let's just say, kids decided they wanted to play football and you only had 8 baseball players, I think that would be a bad situation. So I think you would want to try to work that out where kids aren't choosing sports that they've kind of already chosen, you know.
Yeah. All right. So let's say there's a football season in the fall, likely delayed, okay, and there's still playoffs as a viable opportunity, all right? So one of the questions I get a lot is, okay, let's say you know, even though there's going to be a football season with what's going on with the pandemic, you're going to have a kid somewhere test positive on a football team, all right? So let's say, for example, let's just, for all intents and purposes here, let's say it's your team, all right? So then what happens? So probably because this is the, you know, these are some of these internal discussions, I'm sure, that are being had between the powers that be. So then you would have to probably quarantine your team for 14 days and not be able to play, probably. So that's 2 weeks. So you're looking at 2 games. So are those deemed forfeits? So Camp Point Central, who was 4-2, all of a sudden is 4-4, and then the opponents they were playing, for example, were 2-4, and then they're 4-4. So you talk about like a huge game changer in terms of what happens if somebody tests positive on one of these local teams. What happens in terms of, are those deemed forfeits, or what happens?
I mean, I think that's one of those questions that obviously is you know, there's not a great answer to that. I mean, I think you have the same level of concern with school. You know, I know we're gonna to do everything we can to keep people distance, and I think, you know, in a season of football, the same thing. You know, probably no use to the locker room. You know, you take all your clothes home. You won't gather in those large groups. You're gonna wear the mask as much as you can, you know, during all those things, and so you'll try to limit the amount of direct contact. I've saw some things with how much time in direct contact, and something like, you know, if they've been around them more than 10 minutes, or, you know, those types of things. And, you know, obviously those would all be turned over to the health department, and then they kind of figure out. We've seen that obviously around the state with some different things. You know, I think from a win-loss perspective, I'll be honest, this year, you know, we all want to go out and you know, we get in these sports because we're competitive. You know, I think if there's ever a year where wins and losses shouldn't matter, it's this year, because the opportunity should be what matters. And so, you know, if there's a situation and someone says that you got to quarantine, you know, from playing anybody else for 14 days, but you can pick back up after that 14 days and you can still get 4 games in or 5 games in or whatever, I think that's better than none. You know, what does that do for a playoff and all that kind of stuff? You know, I think that obviously makes that tough. And, you know, you've got to decide how important is the playoffs, how important is all that versus how important it is giving kids a chance, you know. There's not a good answer there, and I think that's been some of the hang up with, you know, trying to come up with a schedule and determining, you know, when you do that, there's got to be some type of a plan, and so I actually reached out, where the conference presidents right now, a great year for that, right, okay, of the WIVC football conference, and we talked about it. Is it a conference policy? Is it a local decision? Because you may have different schools that take a different take on it, or even different county health departments. You know, in the WIVC, we're dealing with Adams County, Brown County, Morgan County, geez, like at Calhoun County, Greene County. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of different counties. Cass County, I think we've got schools in five or six different counties. So, you know, they're getting directives from lots of different yeah. people. So, I mean, there is a lot of those things to be worked out. I think you err on the side of caution, obviously, and you try to err on the side of participation and do whatever you can to give kids a chance. But, I mean, those are all things that there needs to be some type of plan in place ahead of time for how you're going to handle those situations and then go from there.
See, and this is, you know, this is just Jim Taylor talking here. That's it. That's why I just worry about why the fall can't happen. It's because of all those uncertain variables we're dealing with right now in terms of the positive test of a student athlete. What happens? And you know that's going to happen. And then the impact that has, the domino it has on schedules in the counties you just mentioned. You know, the impact of not only just the school, but the county when you're dealing with a pandemic county by county. And that's why the uncertain variables that we're still dealing with 4 months into this thing, to me, almost make it impossible to have any type of a fluid schedule. And it makes it so difficult to do things like this. And that's just my opinion. And you know, then when we look at this too, Coach, you know, as you, people are sick of it. They're tired of it. We're not accustomed to, in today's society, of having the patience to deal with something for 4 months, right? So we're just mad about this thing still impacting our day-to-day lives. And I just worry about, you know, what a lot of the things I look at now, it's, you know, people trying to blame whoever. And, you know, and I'm a dummy. I read social media, and some of the posts I see, it makes me mad. But they want to blame the IHSA. They want to blame Illinois State Board of Education. They want to blame Illinois Department of Public Health. They want to blame the local health department. They want to blame the governor, whoever, you know, the local school district, saying, well, you're being too cautious. So I guess long story short, I mean, the only thing you can blame, from my perspective, is this pandemic we're dealing with that evolves every day and changes. I mean, that's the wild card in all of this. You can try and blame as many agencies or organizations or entities as you want, but it boils down to the pandemic. I mean, right? I mean, that's what, long story short, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, no one has a, you know, I won't say no one. Obviously, the government has their playbook for pandemics, and, you know, they've dealt with that. But at the level that this has gotten between, you know, the agencies, take the IHSA, for example, you know, I don't think they have a playbook for, okay, what happens when a global pandemic happens and we have to close school, and then, you know, all the questions that you talked to me about positive tests and all that. I mean, I would imagine that everyone in the IHSA is in their kind of first go around with dealing with anything like that, in the agencies around, obviously the various states. You know, I think, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, and I know it's tough. I think the frustration lies in, you know, the state of Illinois, for example, is there are, you know, all these various agencies, and no one really knows where the directives should or could come from. You know, we've gotten directives from the IHSA, who I think have worked very hard to try to come up with a feasible way, you know, but then maybe the Illinois Department of Public Health doesn't approve, or maybe the Illinois Department of Health approves a plan, but then the Illinois State Board of Education says, you know, well, this is what we expect to happen on school grounds that they're in control of, you know, and I think that's where the frustration lies, is in some type of, you know, unified message, you know, or some, yeah, just some type of leadership that can say, hey, you know, the decisions are made, you know, based upon these things, and this is who's going to have the final say. And I think from a coaching perspective, that's been one of the more frustrating things. And I think for the IHSA too, because, you know, they're kind of getting pulled in multiple directions and, you know, maybe not getting told the same things from different people. And I think that's why, you know, that the meeting today will hopefully, you know, get some of those issues out there. But, you know, there's a lot of groups that are involved in kids and schooling and athletics and health and all of that. And I think if anything out of this, you know, maybe a better organized plan of attack or a group that can really dive into this, because I mean this does affect a lot of kids and a lot of teachers and a lot of coaches in the state of Illinois, and I think there's just been so much up in the air that that's been the frustrating part.
Yeah, and you mentioned today, as we're talking on the 24th of July, the IHSA is scheduled to meet with representatives from the Department of Public Health and the Illinois State Board of Education to gauge some kind of directive, and then the IHSA board will meet this next Wednesday, the 29th, to probably announce what their plans are entering the new school year. But you know, when you get back to just getting back to school. Now, most schools that I'm dealing with, it's kind of a combination of, they're leaving it up to the parents, where if you don't feel comfortable sending your kid back to school, they can continue to remote learn. And then if you want to send your kid back to school, they can go to class, but then it's a modified schedule where maybe you go a couple days, you're home for a day, back for 2 days. And I guess that's the other big thing in all of this as it relates to high school sports and interscholastic athletics, where, I hear people, some people argue and say, well, why do you have to worry about the Illinois State Board of Education as it relates to the IHSA? Well, duh. I mean, if you're impacted on day-to-day school, I mean, shouldn't that have some type of impact on whether you play or how you play interscholastic athletics? If you see what I mean? I mean, that's why the equation is so delicate. I think the IHSA needs input from Illinois State Board of Education and Illinois Department of Public Health. Duh, it's a pandemic. I mean, but that's just the tough part, is making the equation work when you're dealing with those type of agencies. But I really, truly believe they all need to be part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at something like concussions. You know, obviously that was a huge hot topic, over the last 5 to 10 years. And, I think eventually the state of Illinois passed a bill about, how they were going to deal with concussions. And then through the IHSA and in the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee, they created a plan of attack on that. A system, and then the ISBE was involved and created a return to learn part of that that's required by law now, that the schools have to abide by if someone is diagnosed with a concussion. And I think that's a great example where, the legislative branch and the ISBE and the IHSA work together. And I think we've seen solid efforts in reducing injuries and concussions as a result of those different agencies working together for a common goal of keeping kids safe. And I think that's where we're at now. All those agencies need to work together, because, those kids are in those schools that are governed by the ISBE more hours a day than they're on the practice field. Obviously the Illinois Department of Public Health has the best knowledge of, the coronavirus and mitigation and all these things. And then obviously the IHSA, has the knowledge of scheduling and officials and postseason and sports specific things. And I think it is natural that the three organizations need to work together. And like I said, I think that's the frustrating point is, as we've gotten mixed messages, through this, that I don't know. I'm not in those meetings, but as a coach, that's been the frustrating part. I felt like, in a situation like concussions, we had very direct, and I know this situation is different. This is a global pandemic. I get it. But I felt like that those organizations did a great job of working together in that scenario. And I know each organization is dealing with different things too. At that time they were geared towards one common goal. The ISB is trying to get back to school. Department of Public Health is trying to deal with the health of the entire state. And obviously the IHSA is looking at the sports side of things. And I know it's hard to try to get together, but here we are on July 24th. And, we just need some guidance, whether that is October, March, whatever that comes. I think coaches will adapt and they'll make it work, and they'll get their kids in the right position to do what's asked of them, just like teachers are going to do this fall. We'll do what we're told to do. We just need to be told to do something. And I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. And I'll say this, for me, bottom line is we need kids in the classroom and we need kids on the field. How that gets done, I don't know. But, I mean, this just needs to end sometime. And it's so tough and frustrating dealing with a pandemic that evolves and changes. And I just hope that for these kids down the road. Now, I've talked to you. This has been therapy for me, too, talking to you about this. So we've talked about a lot of different things as it relates to what's going on. Is there anything that I didn't ask you, or there's anything that you can think of that you need to say about this topic?
You know, I just think everyone needs to understand the value of the lessons and the experiences that are gained in extracurriculars. I know it's easy to say it's just sports. You know, it's just cheerleading. You know, the kids will be okay. Well, you know, this is what a lot, you know, there's a lot of kids that it's what keeps them going. It's what keeps them coming to class and getting their grades. And I'm not talking college scholarships. I'm talking the opportunity to gather under the goalposts on a Friday night to hear the crowd roar when we run out through the tunnel and you know, I get goosebumps all the time when our kids run out on the field and I hear our crowd and just those experiences, you know, that kids get and the amount of time that coaches and extracurricular directors get to spend with kids out of that academic setting, you know, when it's not so rigid and structured and all these things that you have to get in the classroom, you get so much more time to build relationships, lifelong relationships. You honestly find out, in my opinion, way more about a kid and what a kid's going through and what their issues are out on the field, you know, in the locker room, on the bus ride, you know, walking in after practice, than you do is sitting in a classroom. And I think that's a huge part of just the developmental process, you know, that when coaches are fighting hard to try to save some remnant of a season, it's not just to go out there and play for a state championship. You know, I'm all for a 5-game season this year if that's what it takes, but I'm for giving kids this chance to go out and enjoy something and be challenged and rise to the occasion and build a relationship, you know, that's going to last forever. I think about all of the kids that have played for me that now I have adult relationships with or coaches that I do that have made me a better person because of that. And I think that part, it kind of gets left out in this. And I understand the health and safety. Don't get me wrong. I totally do. But I think we've got to do everything in our power to give those kids those chances to experience, you know, that extracurricular part of the educational experience. And I'm all for whatever we need to do as coaches, you know, whatever rules they levy us, and, you know, we're going to try to do the best that we can to make sure that our kids get that chance.
All right. Man, great insight from Coach Brad Dixon down at Camp Point Central. Grew up here in Mercer County, and kind of how we began our conversation. I'll say, you know, all these movies now, they do the remakes. So when they do... when they do the remake of Friday Night Lights, the question to Booby Miles is going to be about, you know, in regards to the pandemic and not about the injury. So the uncle will say, what are we going to do now, Booby? But he'll be talking about dealing with the pandemic and the remake. Because I'm tired of watching sports movies and I'm tired of watching classic games and reruns. I want the real life stuff taking place again. So I appreciate your time, Coach Dixon. Always great to visit with you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.